Blog Talk Radio. Log Talk Radio.
Greetings. This is just doing a special short version of the Cal. Wanted to speak with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. about homosexual activity. I was able to speak with him privately last week, and he shared some really interesting thoughts, and I wanted him to share that with you all briefly. I didn't want to take up too much of his time. Mr. Fuller, when I spoke with you, you said that white people tend to think of non-white people as boys and girls, and you tied that into how that relates to homosexual behavior. Could you share that with our audience so they can get a really clear picture of what you're saying?
Well, there is a system of white supremacy in place, which just means just mistreatment and domination and use of people in a royalist manner based on color. That's basically what it is. That's what racism is. It's just a variation of the of royalism, but it's based on color rather than on other things like lineage and who your father was and what your name was, I mean, 1,000 years ago, and certain sets of traditions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that's what basically racism is, and it's turned out to be the most powerful form of royalism in the known universe now in the form of what we call racism and or white supremacy. Now, in any structure that's dominant, you have to dominate the people in all areas of activity. If you don't dominate them in all areas of activity, then other areas of activity will slip away from the domination factor. And you have 9 areas, according to what I have written, that would just about cover most things. I think that's adequate enough. Economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war. Now, I call sex the 8th area of activity in alphabetical order of the other areas of activity. So that just comes up as number 8. But sex is the most powerful motivating force among people, next to the system of white supremacy itself. Because whatever the dominant system is, that's what people react to on the planet. So the dominant system at this particular time in history, and has been as far back as anybody can remember who's breathing now, the dominant system, that's mistreatment of people based on color, domination of people based on color. So the sexual aspect is the second most powerful motivating force, rather than the first, under this system, since the racist factor is the dominant motivating force among people, and sexual motivations are the second. Now, the racists, apparently, according to the evidence, have studied how people who are subject to them are motivated sexually. Now, if a male is a boy, which you are a boy, you're a little boy when you're born and whatnot, and you get to be a bigger boy and whatnot, and at a certain point you reach what they call a certain degree of maturity, which is decided according to the social system that you have at hand, you're now entering the threshold of what they call manhood. So you go from boys to men. Females go from girls to women. And that's the normal process in most societies. So what the racists did was look at that and said, well, when you have a system of racism, you only have one man and one woman category, and that would be the masters themselves. You can't have your victims of the system growing into manhood and womanhood. So if they start trying to be men, if they go from boys to men, now you have a problem. You have a bigger problem than you had before. When they were boys, they were completely dependent on you. They understood that they'll do your bidding, and they're easier to control. Same way with the girls who are trying to be women. But when they start thinking that they are men, you're not going to have but one man in the house of white supremacy, and he's got to be white. And you're not going to have but one woman, and she has to be white. So now it defies logic that you would allow them to go from boys to men. So if you're not going to allow them to go from boys to men, what will you allow them to do? Because they are constantly growing, they are constantly getting smarter, and they have a natural tendency to want to break away from boyhood and to become men. Say, so what you do is divert them away from wanting to become men and have, if it's a male, have him go from boyhood to femalehood. In other words, he changes his gender altogether, at least in his mind. Then he's easier to control. Then you do the same thing with the female. Take the black female, and rather than allow her to go the normal progression of things, steer her in the direction away from becoming a woman and in the direction of becoming a male. In other words, she will switch genders in her mind. Now, her body didn't switch genders, but we can probably do some things that give her the illusion that her body can be made to switch genders too. Now, when you do that, what you have is confusion. You have added confusion. And one of the best ways to control people for a long period of time, particularly if you confuse them sexually, is through confusing them sexually so that you have a male thinking...
Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings. This is just doing a special short version of the Cal. Wanted to speak with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. about homosexual activity. I was able to speak with him privately last week, and he shared some really interesting thoughts, and I wanted him to share that with you all. Briefly, I didn't want to take up too much of his time. Mr. Fuller, when I spoke with you, you said that white people tend to think of non-white people as boys and girls, and you tied that into how that relates to homosexual behavior. Could you share that with our audience so they can get a really clear picture of what you're saying?
Well, there is a system of white supremacy in place, which just means just mistreatment and domination and use of people in a royalist manner based on color. That's basically what it is. That's what racism is. It's just a variation of the of royalism, but it's based on color rather than on other things like lineage and who your father was and what your name was, I mean, 1,000 years ago, and certain sets of traditions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that's what basically racism is, and it's turned out to be the most powerful form of royalism in the known universe now in the form of what we call racism and or white supremacy. Now, in any structure that's dominant, you have to dominate the people in all areas of activity. If you don't dominate them in all areas of activity, then other areas of activity will slip away from the domination factor. And you have 9 areas, according to what I have written, that would just about cover most things. I think that's adequate enough. Economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war. Now, I call sex the 8th area of activity in alphabetical order of the other areas of activity. So that just comes up as number 8. But sex is... the most powerful motivating force among people, next to the system of white supremacy itself. Because whatever the dominant system is, that's what people react to on the planet. So the dominant system at this particular time in history, and has been as far back as anybody can remember who's breathing now, the dominant system, that's mistreatment of people based on color, domination of people based on color. So the sexual aspect is the 2nd most powerful motivating force rather than the 1st under this system, since the racist factor is the dominant motivating force among people, and sexual motivations or the second. Now, the races, apparently, according to the evidence, have studied how people who are subject to them are motivated sexually. Now, if a male is a boy, which you are a boy, you're a little boy when you're born and whatnot, and then you get to be a bigger boy and whatnot, and at a certain point you reach what they call a certain degree of maturity, which is decided according to the social system that you have at hand, you're now entering the threshold of what they call manhood. So you go from boys to men. Females go from girls to women. And that's the normal process in most societies. So what the races did was look at that and said, well, you when you have a system of racism, you only have one man and one woman category, and that would be the masters themselves. You can't have your victims of the system growing into manhood and womanhood. So if they start trying to be men, if they go from boys to men, now you have a problem. You have a bigger problem than you had before. When they were boys, they were completely dependent on you. They understood that they'll do your bidding, and they're easier to control. Same way with the girls who are trying to be women. But when they start thinking that they are men, you're not going to have but one man in the house of white supremacy, and he's got to be white. And you're not going to have but one woman, and she has to be white. So now it defies logic that you would allow them to go from boys to men. So if you're not going to allow them to go from boys to men, what will you allow them to do? Because they are constantly growing, they are constantly getting smarter, and they have a natural tendency to want to break away from boyhood and to become men. Say, so what you do is divert them away from wanting to become men and have, if it's a male, have him go from boyhood to femalehood. In other words, he changes his gender altogether, at least in his mind. Then he's easier to control. Then you do the same thing with the female. Take the black female, and rather than allow her to go the normal progression of things, steer her in the direction away from becoming a woman and in the direction of becoming a male. In other words, she will switch genders in her mind. Now, her body didn't switch genders, but we can probably do some things that give her the illusion that her body can be made to switch genders too. Now, when you do that, what you have is confusion. You have added confusion, and one of the best ways to control people for a long period of time, particularly if you confuse them sexually, is through confusing them sexually so that you have a male thinking he's a female or wanting to be a female, even if he's struggling and trying and whatnot and trying to do everything that a female does, but he doesn't have the physical equipment. But he's got it in his mind anyway. He's just determined that he's going to act like one and be one and do the things that females do and look at males like a female looks at males normally. And then over in the female column, have the female do the same thing. Only thing about it, she's not going to try to grow into womanhood. She's going to try to do everything that she sees males doing, including in the bedroom. Try to become an artificial male. And she can do this in her mind because the mind is very flexible. A person can actually think that they are a bird if they want to. But before they try to fly or jump off a building, it's best that they get their equipment for doing so. You know? So that's the way that works. And when you can get people on that roll and when you have people subject to you, you can always propagandize anything. You can make anything look like it's the fashion because you set the rules for the society. So that's what's going on. I tried to be as comprehensive as I possibly could in that description, and I hope that people could understand what was being said.
Yes, sir.
So that's what we have now. We're heading in that direction now, full steam ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And when I spoke with you, I said that, you know, the counter argument that I frequently hear is that, well, there are a lot of white people who are also participating in so-called homosexual activity. And, you know, it's, this is not something where they're just trying to trick black people into doing it. You have people who are born so-called gay or homosexual. And, you know, this is no trick at all. If it was, you wouldn't see all these white people going around and doing it and being mistreated because they are participating in these so-called homosexual acts. What would your view on that be?
Depends on how it plays out in the end.
Mm.
Now, if the system of white supremacism remains intact, then that will prove the supposition just outlined.
Mm.
That will prove that it's valid. That is, it is designed basically to support what is already in place. Otherwise, you would have a major, the system of white supremacy would go out of business. There would be no reason to keep it in business. If the white people were serious about really getting rid of racism and getting rid of what they call all of the sexual and gender categories and all like that, because racism is an artificial category.
Mm.
See, just because people are of different colors doesn't say that they are members of a race.
Mm.
That's an artificial construct. No one is supposed to be a member of a race. That's something completely made up. So if you can, you can do the same thing with gender. You can do the same thing with a lot of things. But you have to wait until it reaches a certain point where you got enough evidence to prove the proposition that you made in the first place.
Mm.
Now, like I say, this is my concept of the way things are going, because there is still a system of racism in place. Now, if racism is still in place, when all of the so-called anti-sexual, that's what I call it, behavior,
yes,
comes to full fruition, and everybody's accepting of it, everybody's participating in it, or embracing it, or parading it around, and saying that it's the best thing ever discovered since ever, okay?
Mm.
Now, and you still have a system of racism in place, then that will have proved the supposition, because ordinarily, all of racism would disappear. But see, it's designed to lure. Now, here's where I based that on, the luring part. In the history of the system of white supremacy, there's a thing called whiskey.
Mm.
It was very popular, the use of it. Now, if you are a practiced deceiver, one thing that you know about the science and the art of deception, you cannot deceive people into doing things unless you are doing quite a bit of it yourself. If you're going to be what you call a real arch deceiver, and the white supremacists have proven that they are arch deceivers, they are very skillful at deception. So in order to deceive people, you can't get people to drink whiskey, and you're sitting there never drinking any of it yourself. So there's some historical record of this.
Mm-hmm.
So what they'll do, a deceiver will sit there and practice drinking whiskey under controlled conditions. You know, take a little sip, know exactly where the point is where you get good and drunk, or where you don't get good and drunk. Then once you learn what they say, and some people brag about it in bars and whatnot, said, hey, I can drink you under the table, meaning they can outdrink you, that you will drink. I mean, that they will drink, and you will drink. But when they drink, they don't get drunk.
Mm-hmm.
But you wind up drunk. Many males who have tried to deceive females into sexual activity, you know, back in the days when whiskey was a bigger thing than dope, used to get into the booth in the restaurant and start that process. Say, now what I'll do, I'll know she's not willing really, but she'll be willing before the night's over, because I'm going to get her to drink some of this stuff that I brought with me.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll be drinking and she'll be drinking. He'll take a sip, she'll take a sip. Next thing you know, she's willing to go along with anything. She doesn't know what she's doing, but he does. Now, many a person, particularly pimps, understand that thing very well. Now, it's the same way with whiskey as is as it was used, according to the record of white supremacists themselves, in dealing with people who are called Indians. Sit down, Chief. We're going to have a Thanksgiving Day. We're going to give thanks for all of the wonderful things that have been done for both me and you by our Maker, by the great spirits. And, in fact, I brought some spirits with me. It's in a bottle. You never had anything like this before, but you will want it after you get it. It's called fire water. It's full of spirits. It'll give you spirit like you have never had before, Chief. And the Chief said, well, what's wrong with just pure water from the river, from the great streams of our lands? Say, oh, yeah, but you never had nothing like this. This is something we made in a factory. It's got water in it. No mistake about that. But we got a little alcohol and a few other stuff, a little other stuff that I've added here. It'll pep you up, give you another perspective on looking at the mountains altogether. Might be good stuff. So he gives it to the Chief. And at the same time, now, the Chief is a little suspicious. So he's drinking right along with the Chief. So that means everything must be okay. So he's drinking. I'm drinking. Next thing you know, the Chief is under the table. Chief's not used to it. And you the white supremacist, while he's drunk, or when he begins to come out of the stupor, says, okay, Chief, I got some paper here I want you to sign. I'm going to give you $22 for Manhattan. Now, when the Chief really gets sober, see, now he's angry. He wants to go on the warpath. But he's already signed everything away. And what was the instrument for doing it? Deception through an act of using whiskey. Now, the whiskey, you know, that's working all over the world and they're starting to do it in South Africa, in Thailand, and other places and whatnot, is sex and anti-sex. Oh, you don't need to be a female all the time. After all, females have to go through a lot of agony. Wouldn't you like to be like your brother? Well, I don't have the equipment of my brother. Oh, well, you can pretend that you have it. I got some stuff I can sell you in the store. Strap-ons, you name it. And you just get it in your head that you should be a male. Because males can get things done. They got privileges that females don't have. And you say, well, you know, I don't particularly, you know, the lady says, I don't particularly want to be a male and all like that. Well, it's something, you know, have you tried it? You don't know it. Don't knock it if you ain't tried it. And knowing black people, particularly in this area of the world, we like anything that looks like it's bordering on something new. Because we're so tired of everything that ain't new. And they won't know, we'll go for it. We'll pioneer, you know, we'll lead the parade, which is what they try to get us to do. Now, you can't get a decent place to stay. You can't get a decent job. But if you want to lead the gay parade and you're black, they will reserve a spot for you. If you don't believe it, try it. That's what I mean by evidence of what I'm talking about. The record shows this. And they start with who? The youngest, okay, always work with them in the choir and churches and whatnot. And they do it through the most intelligent of black people. They don't start with the fellow sitting there with the wine bottle in front of the liquor store who's 40 years old. Because he's a black male. That's why he's drinking. He's been disallowed to ever be a man, and he knows he'll never be one. He'll always be a boy. And that is tearing him up inside. That's why he left his wife, left his children, and all like that. I mean, he gave up on everything and started drinking. That's why he's sitting on the curb out there. Because he's still struggling to be a man, and he will fight people right there in that parking lot about his manhood. So you can't hardly get to him, even when he's drunk. You say, oh, man, get away from me. Don't be feeling on me. I got this big hip woman out here, you know, this big leg woman out here, you know. You know, if I want to do something like that, that's who I'm going to get with. I don't want you. Get your old rough, dirty hands off of me, you know. Man, I like women, you know. I'm a man, you know. I'm a man. Look at me. I'm a man, you know. I don't want no man. Even when I was in the joint, I didn't want one. See, that's the way he'll talk. He's 40 years old. Okay? But what do? They go around and get the teachers and the guys who are going into the ministry, and that's where they spread that gospel among black intellectuals. Because the street dude, see, he's still struggling. I mean, he ain't going to never make it, because you can't be a man under the system of white supremacy. You got to remain a boy or turn into a female. By turning into a female, I mean having the kind of ideas about the opposite sex that a female has, but you're a male. But you got the same idea about a male as your sister has. You're trying to outdo her. You're trying to take your sister's boyfriend. That's the way the white supremacists want it.
My co-host, I believe is here. She is a non-white female, and she is 10 years old. But she has been studying your work, and she understands that there is a system of racism, white supremacy. I was hoping she could ask some questions as well. Are you there, Justice?
Hello?
Yep, we can hear you.
Okay. Did you... Sorry about the misunderstanding. Okay.
Do you have some questions you would like to ask Mr. Fuller?
Not at this moment.
Okay.
Well, she can think about what I said. See, here again, codification is about not taking Neely Fuller's word for anything. In fact, you're not supposed to. You're supposed to just walk around and take a look. See, just don't jump into things. Just walk around and take a look and see if it doesn't start adding up. Because that's what I do. I don't jump to a conclusion and then go around trying to bombard people with the conclusion I jump to. I just go around and see if there's evidence of what I think might be happening. In fact, I challenge, you might say, if you want to use that term, I say question, and it's not a challenge. If I have a concept, I'll go around and question the concept that I have before I even reveal it and see, you know, well, something is going on. Now, why is this happening? Why here? Why now? How come it wasn't happening, you know, 60 years ago? Why is it happening now? And why is it happening involving black people on this scale? See what I mean? And I'm saying now, someone must have thought it up, or it wouldn't be happening, because it's something that's happening between people. And anything that black people do, the white supremacists always have something to do with it. Otherwise, it's not going to be happening in the first place. If it's something that's bad for their business, they will cut it off. They'll put a stop to it. But if it's something that they think is good for their business, they'll not only let it roll, they will support it. Now, I've heard white supremacists argue about white people engaging in what we call homosexuality or gayism or lesbianism and whatnot. And that's another thing, even the terms don't add up, because I've even asked the questions, which is what you do in any kind of research. Why are gay people called gay? Nobody answers that. Is it named after a person, Mr., you know, Frank Joshua J., gay or what, you know, who started it, you know, or who promoted it, who had an organization by that name and it was named after him? I can see that. But it's just, you know, all of a sudden, gay. What does that mean? And then you say gays and lesbians. Then you add another one, transgender. Gays, it started off just being gays, then lesbians, then transgender. So one legitimate question is, where is the cutoff point? See what I mean? And another thing, is a lesbian gay? Why do you say gays and lesbians? I mean, you know, these are just questions, logical questions.
Right.
If you got a big sign out and you're carrying it around and telling everybody to join in and support it and contribute some money to it and all like that, people should know what they're contributing money to.
Mm.
You know? And another thing, where is the payoff? Now, if it's an improvement over what we call traditional sex, because they call it alternative, that's another term. This is a alternative, you know, meaning something that's different from the usual or something that's various, a variation of the basic. Well, then you ask several questions there. Well, is there anything incorrect about the basic? And a person might say, no, but this is an alternative, of course. You know, for people who just got tired of the basics, want to do something different. What's wrong with variety? What's wrong with diversity, diverting from one thing to another? Well, maybe nothing, but let's examine it. Examine it for what? To see if it is an improvement over what you already had. And if so, justify it by showing, by example, where's the improvement, which one of these, see, when you start talking about homosexuality or lesbianism, these are not just abstract words. These are talking about, you have to do certain things to qualify. So what are these things that you do, and which one of them is an improvement over what has been done? That's just like a person might come around and say, well, hey, you know, I used to kind of be attracted to people, you know. I've had several wives and all like that. I even had a little incest, I mean, every now and then, I mean, you know. But I finally came to the conclusion that people ain't where it's at all. I'm in the bear. You know. You say, what do you mean you're in the bear? I'm into bear. I go out in the woods and I chase me down a bear. The bear ain't chasing me no more. I'm chasing them. I have found that that's a wonderful alternative. I mean, after all, man, I mean, let's face it. Look at these marriages and divorces and whatnot. I don't have no trouble with the bears. I mean, I used to didn't think of anything about bears except just going to the ball game, you know. But I found out that, man, if you really snuggle up to a bear, you'll never want to go back doing nothing else. Now, where'd you get that idea? Well, it just came to me one night. Tired of these women. In fact, people was telling me, well, if you don't like women, get you a man. Well, I'm tired of them, too. So I'm in the bear. See, now, you might laugh, but it's going to come to that if it ain't already. Because there are some people into that. Yeah, they call it, what do you call it, bestiality?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, see what I mean? That might be a wholesale thing in about another 10 years. They say, well, hey, well, you know, this gay and lesbian thing about played out, man, ain't where it's at. You know? Man, everybody's trying to preserve the bears now. You know, I'm trying to get me a panda. You know? Now, what is the point that I'm making? It's a lots of things that the mind can do. The mind is extremely inventive and extremely flexible. But the basic question is this type of activity an improvement, and if so, why? Otherwise, why are you coming around asking black people who don't even have a roof over their head that this is what they should be pushing now? They don't even have a decent school or a decent job. But now you want them to join the gay rights movement, and that should be their priority. We should drop everything else and make that a priority. I don't see the justification at all. They have some white people who came around years ago and started saying, calling it the rainbow. You know, kind of, you might excuse the pun, tailgating Jesse Jackson's rainbow push for civil rights. And then they got to saying, well, what is this all about? And when the question was asked, they answered by saying, well, it's another division of civil rights.
Yeah.
It's all the same thing. Discriminating against gays is the same as discriminating against blacks. And a lot of black people say, wait a minute, It may sound like the same thing, but it ain't the same thing. But they were able to shout all of that down. It is the same thing. Why is it the same thing? Because I said so. White supremacy in action again. Always, because I said so. See, but, you know, but that don't, you know, it sounds like it could be right, but it's something that still don't add up. It ain't the same thing. It is the same thing. Trust me. No different. Discrimination is discrimination, which is another word that people should pay attention to. Everybody discriminates every day. You discriminate when you decide to ride the bicycle to work rather than catch the bus. Now, does that say that you are discriminating against the bus riders? You know? So that word discrimination, I don't even use it because everybody discriminates. It just means choosing. But what is the key? The key is it a choice that's constructive? When you start talking about black people's plight now, see, that's a different thing altogether. Is it constructive or is it non-constructive? Because it's got to be one or the other. Is it an improvement? Now, we already have a mess with the male-female thing. But you would have that anyway under any system that's unjust. But now, are you making a bigger mess or are you straightening out all the mess that ever was? I have no reason to believe that this is helping to straighten out anything. It's helping to make it worse, particularly when you start doing it right down to the grade school level. Start saying that this is something that, and this is just what you children need. You're 7 years old. And this is what I need? I don't even know what sex is yet. Now you're telling me about alternatives to sex. Well, let's start out so that your mind will get straight. Now, Jane has two mommies, thinking about getting three. Now, what benefit is this to Jane? Well, she learns diversity at an early age. Diverting from what to what in order to do what? Oh, well, we'll know when we get there. Don't ask so many questions. Oh, no. I got a lot of questions. You know, show me how this is a what? Improvement. Which one of these acts? See? Well, you know, being gay. Don't you understand what being gay used to mean? Being happy. I mean, you know. But that ain't what it means, I don't think, when you say it. So you're talking about acts. Show me by demonstration the very act that you're talking about that's going to be an improvement. And then show me, tell me in words how this is a great improvement. Tell me, you know. First do the act with me looking at you. And then after you finish the act, you'll say, now that's act one of being gay. You ain't gay unless you do this. See? You know, there's several things you can do to qualify for being gay. So you got to have qualifications. Otherwise, what's the difference between you and everybody else if you don't do something different? So you got to do something. So whatever that difference is, you do it. Then you get before, you know, come to the blackboard with the pointer and whatnot, and you say, now, number one, this is an improvement over whatever it is you all are doing out there. It's not just an alternative. And I'm telling you this because you should be on board for supporting act number one, which I just demonstrated to you. This is what you actually ask people to do. See, in other words, stop just talking in circles and whatnot and talking in innuendo. Get the crowd there to come and take their seats respectfully, and then march down the aisle and come up to the podium and have your bed up there or whatever it is you're supposed to have. And do what it is that you say that everybody should be taking an interest in and supporting. And then as you do it, you can turn around and face the crowd every now and then. Just take a little break. Say, now you saw what we just did. Now, this is an improvement over what has been because of. And then enumerate the improvements and ask for questions and answers. Because if I'm in the audience, I'm going to say, now, how is that an improvement? I just saw what you did from start to finish. I sat here and watched it for 15 minutes until you completed it. Didn't say a word. Now I want you to tell me how that's an improvement over what? I think that what I'll hear is silence. But I don't know. See, because they never get that far. They just go around and say, support us. And if you don't support us, oh, you're some kind of demon. You're some kind of anti-something. No, just explain what you're doing. I mean, like the chief. I don't know about that fire water. You know? How is that going to improve me? How is that going to be an improvement over water? Say, well, didn't you get a little buzz when you... Yeah, I got the little buzz and all like that, but is it an improvement? Say, well, didn't the mountains look like you, you know, saw two of them instead of one? Wouldn't you like to have an extra mountain? Well, an extra mountain might help, but that's not really what I was looking at. I thought I was. Well, Chief, that's what whiskey does. It makes you drunk. Well, is being drunk an improvement over being sober? Well, if you work at it, see how they talk? And they do the same thing with sex.
Again, Mr. Palmstar. Yeah, right. I was going to see if Justice, if she had any questions she would like to ask Mr. Fuller.
Okay.
Justice, are you there?
Hello?
Okay, we can hear you. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I don't have any questions right now.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's why I'm saying, see, if they don't have any questions, there's no problem there. All I want them to do, I have said what I had to say. Mm-hmm. I just want them to think about it. After they think about it and think about it thoroughly, they may come to the conclusion that nothing that I said made sense. In which case, they can go ahead with whatever they think is they hear somebody else say. But I think that anything, particularly something that's supposed to be new or you've expanded on something that's old, should be examined. You know, if somebody comes to me and says, you know, Fuller, you need to quit this job. I mean, it's a better job over there in that other town, whatnot. Now, I'm willing to listen. But they're going to have to, we're going to have to take a weekend and go over there and have me take a look at that job. See what I mean?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and I ain't going to just, you know, just sign off and whatnot. I'm going to go in there and cuss the boss out and quit. And then go running off to the other job. I mean, when I haven't even looked into it. I'm just asking people to take a look and see where all this goes. And when I say take a look, I don't mean just a short look, because this is pretty big stuff. You take a good long look before you go plunging in, okay? You know, because there's an old saying, if you snore in a bear's face long enough, you'll learn to like it. But bear might not be where it's at, you know? You might get to the place where you can't bear it. But it'll be too late. Because now you're hooked, just like the chief got hooked on that whiskey. Ask any Indian about whiskey, and ask, is whiskey a friend to the Indian? But when they first got it, it looked like it was a friend. He no longer felt the cold. I laid out in the snow all night last night, you know. Maybe the white man got it right. I didn't feel nothing. I woke up with a smile on my face, and I wanted some more, you know. It destroyed him. This thing that the white supremacists are doing with sexuality and bringing it to black people, beware.
I agree wholeheartedly. I especially started paying attention to that when I was seeing so many different black so-called stars, black people who, you know, have a lot of money, are well-known.
Oh, yeah, those are the ones you get first. Yeah, and then have them finance what you're doing to them.
Yes, sir.
You know?
I have noted the white people who allege to be against racism, white supremacy, so-called anti-racist,
a lot of them, they will talk about what they call white privilege, and then with that, they will talk about people who are not gay, that they're also privileged, and that they, you have mistreatment of people because they are a person of color, and then you have mistreatment of people who do not engage in heterosexual behavior. And how do you feel that plays into the system of white supremacy?
Well, they'll, for one thing, they'll take antidotes. That's one thing they'll always do. You'll always, you can always find an antidote. In other words, an example. Some black person who is so-called gay or homosexual, lesbian, whatever it is, gets beat up. Maybe gets killed. Okay? Many people get killed every day for something or another. But the way you looked at me, I mean, you know, so I'm gonna kill you. People get killed about that. Okay? So you can always find an example. But what they'll do, they'll just sit back and wait for someone to pick out somebody who's homosexual and beat them up because they are homosexual, okay? Well, basically, these are people that go around and beat up people, period. You know, they don't need much excuse. They're looking for somebody to beat up. All right? See, so that's not unusual. But but here's how shrewd the so-called white supremacist arm of the gay rights movement is. They know that's going to happen. And then when it does happen, they'll say, see? See, that doesn't happen all day, every day. In fact, where it comes to black people, most black people, has been my experience, coming up in the South, the black male, and I knew some of them, the white supremacists would find out that this black male is a homosexual. That's who he'd hire. The black male who is looking at females when he comes over there to get hired at the white hotel. No, we don't want you around here. Absolutely not. But we'll take this black male here who likes for people to take him into the men's room, other males, we'll put him behind the desk. You know, and give him a promotion and everything. And other white people will come in there and say, what is that Negro doing behind that desk and whatnot? I thought this was a white hotel and whatnot. Yeah, but check him out. He's no danger. He's a plaything. He's all fun and games because he doesn't want to be a man. So you got no threat ever to him. He's no problem. And I have seen that over and over again. Because I used to wonder about some guys being able to get jobs where they're not even supposed to be. The old jobs, I mean, you know, where, hey, you know, some white guys couldn't get the job. But they got a black elevator operator over in that building. Yeah. Because you see, you got white men who are servicing. You know, he's giving service to. That's just another branch of the service. Okay? Now, the black guy who comes in there looking at the white women, see, I mean, hey, yeah, if he's lucky, I mean, you know, in first place, he ain't going to get the job. And sometimes if he does, he might wind up swinging from a tree. Okay. So then that told me something. I mean, that was before I got out of my teens, I started learning that. There are some black males who wasn't even homosexuals, but they acted effeminate. And they were accepted by white people. They could sit there, you know, sit around the table and whatnot, as long as they were talking girl talk and whatnot. Talking about how you fix your hair and all this type of stuff. Hey, they're all right. And you can notice that today.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Black male in the office, I mean, who kind of, you know, kind of tips around and you know, has, he might not even be a homosexual, but he has what most people would call feminine ways. You know? I mean, obvious feminine ways. Not all people who believe in homosexuality have obvious feminine ways, but some people who are not even homosexual, you know, on the surface, they have high-pitched voices. They don't have that deep voice like some black people have, all right? But they talk, you know, in a high, real high-pitched voice. you know, and they're always smiling and always tipping, you know, and switching, and switch more than the females, okay, when they walk. Very acceptable, you know.
I
just give an example. I mean, you know, he talks like, you know,
have you all been to coffee?
You know, stretch out that last word.
Mm-hmm.
Coffee?
You know,
coffee anyone?
You know, a male who talks like that? Oh, yeah. See, white people notice him. They pay attention to him. They know he's black. Exceed black. Hey, but hey, you know, he's okay. He ain't no danger. He's a little cutesy plaything.
Definitely not a man.
Right. He ain't trying to be no man, so he ain't no threat to nothing. You know, he's no danger to the system of white supremacy. That's the bottom line. Back in the ancient days, what they used to do to make sure, they'd make eunuchs out of them, meaning they'd castrate them. Then they'd dress them up in a big gold suit, put a big turban on their head, and they'd stand them outside of what they call the harem, or the concubine room of whoever the ruler was. And he was the guard. See, they'd let him mingle with the girls in there all the time. I mean, he'd be the only male in there. I mean, what had been a male, but he's castrated. He got no equipment at all. But he got big, strong shoulders. He can whip anybody, you know. And his job is to keep other males from coming in there. Black as he can be. Got a big gold turban on. Big, expensive. Got plenty of bling bling. Boy, they put bling bling all over him. I mean, he's a walking showpiece. Got some gold shoes turned up at the end. Great big red sash around his waist. That's his full-time job. Stopping people at the door. What are you doing in here? You don't have no business in here. There's naked women in here. They all belong to the king. They belong to the emperor. My job is to keep you out of here. Get on away from here. Or I slash you with this sword, you know. But he's got no sex organs. They call him eunuchs. The palace eunuch. Now that's actual history.
I wanted to ask you, excuse me, we're going to have a white person come on the program later today. She's a professor at the University of Southern California. She wrote a book on white supremacy. It's called What Blood Won't Tell. And she basically, she analyzes how the white people who practice racism, how they have changed the rules about who gets to be a white person, and even what rules they're going by, that they've changed those. And one of the things that she highlights is that to be a white person, you are expected to be informed about racism. You are expected to know the rules of how you are supposed to function as it relates to other white people and non-white people. That is just expected of you. You cannot be ignorant of those rules. I had heard you say that white people, you cannot be ignorant about racism. And if you are, you will get in trouble with other white people. Could you share your view on that?
The average white person, by the time they're 16 years old, they know all the rules. They picked it up by osmosis, meaning just by being around people and observing and listening and whatnot, being around the dinner table and all like that when political talk is going on. You know, the little white girl, the little white boy who's sitting there, I mean, he's 6 years old, but he hears, you know, his white grandfather sitting up there talking about that blankety-blank Obama and whatnot. And all the rest of those heathen niggas are ruining, you know, the society and all like that, and on and on and on. Now, he's 6 years old. By the time he's 15, he's well-schooled, and he hadn't said a word to anybody. He's, you know, by the time he gets ready to go to school, he knows the fundamentals, and by the time he gets to about the eighth or ninth grade, he's got it just about pat. Now, every now and then, he'll make some mistakes. You know, he'll choose a white buddy or something a black buddy or something like that. I mean, he'll be on the football team and all like that. But for the most part, he knows the rules. He knows where the line is. and he's not supposed to cross it, because when he does, he'll be crossing his grandfather, who's still sitting on that porch rocking back and forth. You know? Now, boy, you know better than that. It's okay, you be nice and kind to the people. Don't call them names and all like that. But after all, don't forget, you're a white man now. You got to remember that. That means something. I didn't go all the way through the wars and all like that fighting for you to wind up being like them. It's all right for you to be around them and do a little laughing and talking and all like that, but you're a different species all together, and don't you forget it. How do you think that we got all that we got? By being like them? Look at them. Look at them. Drive through where they live. Look at the way they act. Do you think that's an improvement? You know? And so, you know, they stand there and look, and then they go out and check it out. And they say, no, you know, I'd rather, hey, it's something to being white. You get a lot of things out of being white that you won't get if you're black.
For sure.
Yeah, see, so they say that. I mean, they ain't blind, you know. Are you in a better position being white, or are you in a better position being black anywhere in the world? And every white person is, you know, a 30-year-old white person, they don't know that. I mean, you know. I mean, even if they are blind, they know that much. I mean, a blind white person. I mean, you know what a black person looks like. If somebody's told him he's white, he knows what that means. That's a much better position.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he's listening. He got ears.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had one person that called in. I want to see if they had any questions. Before I do, I want to check Justice. Do you have any questions you would like to ask Mr. Fuller? Are you there, Justice? We didn't lose her. If you're there,
I'm here.
I don't think so. They're listening in the chat. We can hear you, Justice. Go ahead if you have a question that you would like to ask.
Yes. How can the system of white supremacy be stopped?
First of all, by having the thing, that's why I call what I write the compensatory code. Compensatory means making up for what's missing. And you assume that what's missing is something that should be, other than something that what you have. What you have is a system of racism. Now, what's the best system for replacing the system of racism? Well, you look at what racism does. It's a form of injustice. So you do just the opposite. Try to come up with a system that's a system of justice. Meaning what? Guaranteeing that no person is mistreated, and guaranteeing that the person that needs help the most gets the most constructive help. It's a very simple, fundamental thing, and that's all you have to remember. And in everything that you do, each and every day, wherever you are, you try to do the best you can to fulfill those guarantees. The person who is being mistreated doesn't get mistreated. If you see it, you speak up. First of all, by asking a question. Is this person being mistreated? And if so, how? Because it appears that the person is being mistreated. And if not, why not? You know, because you're looking at what's happening. And you just raise a question to the people who are around, who are causing what you perceive to be the mistreatment. And in order to minimize conflict and get into a big fight with them, you just say, is this the way a person is supposed to be treated? And then let them answer. Is this what I'm looking at? Is this the way that a person is supposed to be treated? And let the person who you perceive to be doing the mistreatment answer. And if the person says yes, then you say, why? If this is the way a person is supposed to be treated, why? What's the reason? And last but not least, is this the way you want to be treated? The way that you are treating this person right now, do you want to be treated this way? Do you want everybody in this room to start treating you the same way? And everybody in every other room, everywhere you go, for the rest of your life? See what I mean? Hold the phone a minute.
Yes, sir. Just a spontaneous episode of Context of White Supremacy. I had the ability to contact Mr. Fuller and decided to do so. Justice was able to join in. This is, I guess, the warm-up for our show at 7 p.m. today, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern. Are you with us again, Mr. Fuller? Oh, I guess he's still gone, yeah. This is the warm-up show for our
Now, the other part of that, Justice, hello, I broke into your conversation.
Go right ahead, sir.
So the other part of that is have to guarantee that the person that needs help the most gets the most constructive help. That's the compensatory definition. Hello?
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
That's the compensatory definition for justice, which loosely means balance between people. People are out of balance all over this planet, 24/7. Why? Mostly because of mistreatment, and the biggest form of mistreatment is racism, because there's more conflict between white and non-white than any other type of conflicts, including so-called religious conflicts that there are. This is why racism is so deadly. It's the major form of conflict. It's the one that most people do the most hand-wringing about. Just like the lady asked, what do you do about it? That's what people have been asking ever since it began. Because it seems to be so complicated. People who have a lot of brain power haven't figured out, how do you handle this? Where do you start? What's the best way to go about doing something about it? I mean, the brainiest people in the world who have been sincere have approached it and walked away throwing up both hands. That means if a person really wants to be a superstar on this planet, figure out what to do about racism. I mean, some person who really wants to, they pride themselves on what you call solving problems. You know, there are some people who walk around and say, hey, hand me a problem. I can solve any problem there is, because I know how to work on problems. Hand them the race problem. And see, in about maybe 6 months, they'll probably walk away talking to themselves. Now, these are people who are rocket scientists, all right? They think that they can figure out anything. Just give them the race problem. Tell them to figure that one out.
Right on. You have some other questions you would like to ask, Justin?
All right.
Yes.
Go right
ahead. How does the system of white supremacy harm non-white people directly and indirectly?
I didn't hear the question.
Hello?
How did what? Hello. How did what? I can hear you, but
okay. How does this?
Well, maybe I didn't understand the question. Go ahead. Say it again.
How does the system of white supremacy harm non-white people directly and indirectly?
Did you understand the question?
Yes, sir. I believe she said, how does the system of white supremacy harm non-white people directly and indirectly?
Oh, in every area of activity, because it's harmful. Now, it's one thing about the system of white supremacy. It's very efficient when it comes to producing things. It's the most productive system ever thought of in the history of the of recorded history for getting things done. You want to get things done, you can definitely adopt the system of white supremacy when it comes to handling material things. You can get a lot done through the system of white supremacy.